Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. In his message titled, The Rage Quit, Reverend David Williams tells us that anger comes easy when we are stressed. That is the human way. Anger breaks down and destroys God's kingdom. Remember, Jesus teaches us to do what we can to make peace. Attempt it, and Christ will grow in you. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. It is a season of peace, a season when we remember Jesus' birth and that calmness in the manger, a season when we recall peace. And yet, peace just doesn't seem to be much out there in the world now. We come here out of a world rift and torn with conflict and strife, torn with anxieties and fears. And our response when we are frightened or anxious doesn't tend to be peace. When we feel threatened, when we feel uncertain, we respond with fear and with anger. And so recognizing that this season that we've somehow made into a season of stress can rest upon us in ways that make us rather less than peacemakers, let's admit that spirit affects us. Let's admit it by praying together, a prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and loving God, when we feel threatened or challenged, we respond so often with anger. Our anger is an energy that can stir us to respond, but it so often burns wild and out of control. And so rather than seeking peace, we seek the destruction of the other. Rather than finding a way to make the world whole, we want to tear it all apart. Remind us, gracious God, that in this season of preparedness and hope, we should seek the heart of your kingdom. In Christ, please remind us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You can follow along on page 4 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they may be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. Jesus continues to pitch out what should be the easiest stuff here as we work our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Should be so straightforward, and yet it isn't. Because today Jesus talks about anger. And dealing with anger is hard. That response we have is a tough nut to crack, because I know that I follow the Prince of Peace. I know that I am supposed to turn the other cheek, I'm supposed to go the extra mile, and when they asketh us for our cloak, to render up our shirt and pantaloons also. But on the other hand, I am a human being, and when I feel messed with, I get mad. Someone says or does something that I think is wrong, and I get perturbed. And when it's really, really wrong, that perturbation quickly turns to outrage, and that's just how I am, because I am a person. Anger is a natural reaction when our desires or our hopes are challenged and frustrated, and we perceive those frustrations as indicative of a threat, and then we react because it's the way we are made. It's the way we were created. Anger is a hardwired response, just a part of the way that God created us to deal with those things that endanger our existence. If you get angry because something is threatening you, then that adrenaline starts cranking and it increases muscular response and reaction time. It also puts your heart into overdrive, sending oxygen streaming to your muscles and to your brain. And in that brain, anger's hormones start working. And what that does is it makes us much, 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 much more able to focus on the perceived threat. In fact, we become so focused on threat and in that present moment that sometimes we lose our ability to see much of anything else at all. It's the way we were designed. The big picture disappears when we are angry. And what we see through that red-tinged tunnel of rage is the person or object that needs to be smashed. And that part of our design is very useful. When we have to punch an incoming leopard. And that works just frequently enough that you might survive. But it's not quite so useful when you're sitting there on your laptop trying to get work done. Oh, I'll just look at Facebook for a moment, you said to yourself. And the next thing you know, you're bombarded by stimulus, you're bombarded by outrage, and you know, all you really wanted to do was look at puppies and babies and people doing silly things, and instead you encounter people you don't know really screaming at each other in all caps. And you start feeling that anger suffusing you. And because you are angry and anger stirs you to action, you think, just this one time, I'm going to leave a comment. I don't know that person, but I will leave a comment. This is a mistake. I mean, we all know this. This is always, always, always an error. Because if you are not careful, that rage will descend into a conversation that leaves you as eager to punch that screen as an ancestor was to punch a leopard. And, you know, honestly, I used to think that was a problem. What possible advantage would it be if you just bam? But I don't know. Lately, I'm wondering if that might also confer an evolutionary advantage. Because we are so constantly stirred to anger. The media magnified propensity to anger just deepens in this season, when our lives become more stressful, when the pressures of culture and life wind us up tighter than that tangled ball of lights that we just can't get apart because it seemed to have been designed by the same people who made Apple's earbuds. And as intense as that is, you layer on that the expectations for consumerist perfection that radiate from every media output, and all the stress of a culture in transition and in political conflict, and you find yourself in this paradoxical season that is meant to be a season of peace and yet has been so strangely turned by consumerist anxiety and our fear of not measuring up, into a season where anger is just right there at every moment. And when it's right there, the challenge becomes that it's so easy to let it loose, because it wants to be let loose. And then your anger begets more anger, sometimes with strangers, sometimes with friends, sometimes with family or coworkers, and that resultant conflict builds nothing. Anger, as it burns, just does damage. And it's damage that isn't easily repaired. Anger is a hard thing for us to deal with as Jesus followers. And so from the heart of the gospel this morning, we get a teaching from up there on the mountain about that anger that comes so easily to us. It begins a series of teachings that come from the lips of Jesus at this place in the Sermon on the Mount, as he takes six teachings from the Ten Commandments and from the Law of Moses and says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Last week we heard Jesus saying, "I have not come to replace the law, but to fulfill it." And over the course of these teachings, he tells us what that means. What it means is not that he has come to make things easier. He's come to make things more difficult. Yay, just what we need at Christmas. Jesus showing up, making things a little harder on us. Because people thought, his hearers thought, that they knew what the law was. And all they had to do was follow a straightforward regulation and they would be fine. But Jesus tells them, you must not just obey the law, but understand its spirit if you are to stand in covenant relationship with God. And so he starts that out with one that should be easy for most of us. Starts out with that fundamental covenant about how we relate to the people around us. Thou shalt not kill. You remember how the commandment says, don't murder other people, Jesus says. And his audience nods, because that one most of us, hopefully, have figured out. I'm not going to ask for hands of anyone this week. But we know, generally, that we don't kill people, hopefully. This one's easy. I've got that. I haven't killed anyone this year. I'm good, totally good. But Jesus, giving them that one that most of them thought they probably had down pat, says, you remember that thing about not murdering people? The heart of that sin, the seed of that, is your anger that burns bright. That seed that all of us carry within us is the reason the whole murdering thing happens. So if you have that in yourself, you're just as guilty. And as so often happened when you listen to Jesus, people, no, that's not easier. That's much harder. And yet that is exactly the challenge Jesus presents every one of his listeners and with us. He says, you carry that anger in your heart? you're just as liable for judgment. If you are insulting, you will have to stand before the court. And if you call anyone a fool, the Gehenna of fire, the darkest and worst place, belongs to you. And that's tough. I mean, that pretty much means we can't leave a comment on any website anywhere. On the other hand, it would make the town Facebook page a much more pleasant place to spend time. Just be lost dogs and happy things. It's that challenge that Jesus presents us. You should not do anything until you have resolved that anger in yourself, until that heart of conflict has been bathed in the grace that all of us require to live. Don't think you are right. Settle things. This he repeats as we move through this sermon, as he tells us that our task is to bless those who curse us, as he tells us that we are asked to live in harmony. We are told we need to live at peace, especially with those we consider our enemies. We are told that we need to overcome evil with good. And we hear all of those things and we think to ourselves, you know, that sounds really nice. But when we are in places of stress and conflict, the anger is still there. It still howls and snarls away inside of us. And we hear this teaching so fundamental to the path that Jesus brought into the world, and we say, how can we stand in relationship to this? How can we cope with it? And there it helps to look at this in the context of what Jesus taught and how he lived, because Jesus did leave some space, some room for anger. Jesus, as much as we like to see him in pastel colors and hues, and surrounded by, you know, bunnies and little farm animals and children who are all... Jesus got mad. There is evidence of anger in the Gospels coming from Jesus. He did not hold back from speaking the truth to those in power with a furious love. And there Jesus shows us that anger can alert us to things that are wrong in our lives, wrong in our relationships, wrong in our world, and that you can use that energy to respond to injustice, or respond to human suffering, or respond to the violation of God's creation who seek only their own profit. We are allowed to feel that anger towards those things that break God's covenant promise. But the purpose of that feeling cannot be turned to the destruction of an enemy who we are meant to love, nor can it be turned to the complete removal of yourself from that enemy, not the anger responses, the fight or the flight, the energy either to punch or to run. The goal of the kingdom is the transformation of the world, up to and including those people we don't like. The goal of anger has to be restoration. And that's hard because anger doesn't like restoring things. Anger is much better at breaking stuff. But that remains the way that energy must be directed. And typically, whenever you say, well, Jesus took his energy and his anger and turned it to the cause of restoration, for those who like anger, who enjoy articulating anger, you'll usually say that, well, you know, it's not just that Jesus got angry. You know, Jesus went into the temple and he went, whoa, toss things. I won't actually do that here because that would be messy. Turned over those tables. He took a whip to the money changers. Yeah, I feel angry, I'm going to take a whip to the person I don't like. And yes, Jesus did go into the temple, but he only used those cords to drive out the animals, and he did overturn the tables, but he spoke to the people, challenged the people who were there. He never had words, gentle words, for the powerful and the predatory. He did not become all sweetness and light with those who used the law and their pride to bully others into submission. But whenever he showed anger, the purpose was always restoring covenant and deepening compassion. Anger was directed towards the goal of restoring relationship. And second, if we are to hear this teaching of anger and on anger from Jesus, it should act as a reminder that our task is to leave room for both God's wrath and God's love in every action that we take. If we stand against someone who we have beef with, we have to do so understanding that God is just and God is loving, and that that justice is woven deeply into all of creation. It is God's purpose for us. And so we, the person that we are, can never completely grasp from our subjectivity how to balance the scales of God's justice. Because when we feel that justice has been violated, our tendency from the anger that that stirs is to say, well, I'm mad, so I'm going to push down on those scales a little harder. And if you've got an enemy on the other end of those scales, it's sort of like you go to the fair and there's that, you know, thing you hit with a hammer and it sends something up flying, ding. You just want that person to be on the other end. Let's be just here. Boom! Ooh, justice! Bang your head against that bell. Our tendency from anger is to seek our interest. But God is love. And if we understand God as love, which we are meant to as followers of Jesus, we are stuck with the reality that God loves every living thing, and that the love of God on which we rely for our life connects us to and is shared fully with all of God's creatures, even those we might feel a little bit angry at this moment. And so if we feel the anger that comes from wrongness, Jesus tells us, come to terms with that before you go before the altar of God. Come to terms with that before you take out that anger on others, because they are loved by God and they are bathed in God's grace just as we are. We cannot abandon them to rage. We cannot rage quit on that relationship with God. Rage quit, anyone know what that is, that term? Yeah. Rage quit, and you'll notice that the boys of the church have raised their hands. Is the way that you feel when you're playing a round of conquest on Battlefield 1 and you're doing really, really, really badly and you have been killed by the same guy 5 or 6 times in a row and you're like, I won't do this anymore, and you turn off the PS4 and you try not to throw the controller because you're mad and you want to be out of that relationship that makes you angry. We cannot rage quit our relationship with others. Every single one of us is woven up together by God's grace and love. And when we allow ourselves in anger to imagine that we are separate from them, we are killing that relationship in our soul. You shall not murder, goes the saying. And when we hate with a hate that wants to separate us from the other, we are murdering that connection with others in our heart. And we cannot do that and be in covenant relationship with God. So if you feel anger, which it's hard not to sometimes, Understand that there is space for that energy so long as it doesn't overcome your knowledge that God loves those you oppose. Make room for that grace. Make room for God's action. Trust that God is just. Use that anger only if you know that it is bathed in the love that transcends it. Do not quit the other. Do not hate the other. But be guided by the love that guides us to the peace that is the purpose of this season. Let that be so. For you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
When we are stressed, when we are pressed, anger comes easy. It's just part of who we are. But the challenge of all forms of anger is that they tear down and they destroy. As we heard from the prophet Isaiah this morning, if we intend to live on God's holy mountain, in a place where a little child leads them, tearing down and destroying is not something we're meant to be doing. And so when we feel that wolf rising up in us, snarling, when we feel that lion looking for a bite of whoever it is happened to have bothered us in traffic or online that day, when we feel the serpent rising in us, filled with poison, we are asked to remember what Jesus taught about anger. Anger is not that place of fulfillment we are seeking. And so this season, as you are troubled, if you are standing in a place of conflict, if you are standing in a place of anger, do what you can to make it right. Jesus tells us, go to the one with whom you've got beef and try to make it better. Say things that bring about reconciliation. In as far as it is gifted you to do, attempt this. I know in my heart that I have someone I need to do that with. And I don't know about y'all, but having just preached on that, I feel kind of obligated to at least make an effort this week to do that. Whatever effort it is you do make, know that it is born of the Spirit. Seek it in this season as we move towards the Christ child's birth, so that in that point of reconciliation, Christ might be born more within you. That is the purpose of this season and this time. Let's try to make it so in our lives. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be and abide in all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.